The past year has offered yet more proof, should it be needed, that we are living through a climate and ecological crisis. The urgent need to transform our fossil fuel-based economy and end our exploitation of nature is clear.
Here at Earthrise, we've been highlighting ways of doing this for over a decade. But our current political and economic systems mean these solutions just aren't being implemented fast enough.
So what will it take for this to happen? In this series, we'll look at the role two global institutions have to play. While big business continues to pollute and plunder the planet, can the green economy show the way to a sustainable future? When politicians and corporations don't deliver on their climate commitments, their promises to protect nature, can the law force them to act? And as society becomes more urbanized, more developed, can faith help rebuild our broken relationship with the natural world?
This is not the time for small, incremental steps. This is the time for bold, decisive action. If the solutions are to flourish, then the systems are going to have to change.
June 2022, and there's a buzz outside the Royal Courts of Justice in the British capital, London. The UK government is in the dock over its net zero strategy, which it released in October 2021.
Today, not one, not two, but three organisations are taking the UK government to court, claiming that the strategy breaks UK climate laws.
They believe the government's proposals fall short of the requirements of the Climate Change Act, a landmark piece of legislation making the UK the first country to set legally binding carbon targets. Friends of the Earth was instrumental in getting the Act passed in 2008. Katie DeCower is their in-house lawyer.
The Climate Change Act is such a pioneering piece of legislation. It's hugely exciting. This is the first time a case like this has come before a court, and it has the opportunity to actually set a precedent.
Friends of the Earth is represented in court by David Wolfe KC.
This is the UK's bit of something which is absolutely enormous. What's really at stake here is whether the government in this country and elsewhere around the world actually takes the action that needs to be taken now to tackle climate change. We talk about net zero in 2050, but to bring about net zero in 2050, things have to happen now.
Though the hearing lasts 2 days, it could be months before the judge reaches his decision. Cases in which citizens hold those in power to account are becoming more common as the climate crisis worsens. And increasingly, activists frustrated by political and corporate inaction are turning to the courts to force change. They're using existing laws in novel ways to compel the worst polluters to reduce emissions. It's an idea that took off here in the Netherlands. I've come to Amsterdam to meet Marianne Minesma. She runs the Agenda Foundation, which aims to help the transition to a sustainable society.
So this is it? We're going to visit a couple here, yeah.
Okay, brilliant.
Hey!
Hi. Welcome, Sophie.
Sophie and Hugo have recently made their apartment carbon neutral with help from Agenda.
These are infrared panels, and it's like you sit behind a window and the sun shines, so it's a really comfortable heat. And you don't heat spaces that are not necessary to heat.
We did have gas before. We still have the radiators standing over there.
Marianne started Agenda in 2007. But after several years, she realized promoting solutions was not enough. The Dutch government, despite being party to a UN agreement to cut emissions 25 to 40% by the year 2020, had only made plans for a 17% reduction.
I wrote a letter to the minister, and then he wrote me a letter back. We completely agreed climate change is a big problem, but we don't want to be a front runner, which is really funny because at that time emissions were just going up, up, up. We were not going flat or down at all. And that was actually the turning point for me. It's if they don't want to do it by asking, then let's go to the courts.
Marianne was inspired to file a lawsuit against the government on reading a book called Revolution Justified by Dutch lawyer Roger Cox.
In your book, you say that the judiciary is the last hope. What did you mean exactly?
Politics is too much about short-term interests.
mostly also the interest of the politicians themselves. The same goes for the business community. So you have to look for a balancing power within society, and that is our judiciary. I have been thinking about environmental law, for instance. Mm. But environmental law is basically rules that are draped around the current system, so they have no revolutionary impact. Every new regulation is lobbied to death in a way by the big corporation, so it will not have the force that is needed. So then you have to look at existing law. All of a sudden, that connected to me that actually civil law and human rights law is the way forward.
The agenda case would be Roger's first chance to test out his ideas. The hearing started at the District Court of The Hague in April 2015. By then, agenda had been joined by 886 co-plaintiffs.
If you as a judge see young people, students, all kinds of people that watch you like, please help. I think that makes a difference, that you see it's not just for one person or one NGO, it's for all people.
Urgenda en haar mede-eisers zijn van mening dat de gevolgen van de opwarming van de aarde, en meer in het bijzonder de gevolgen van de dreigende opwarming met 2 graden of meer, hun rechtens te respecteren belangen raakt en dat zij daarom gerechtigd zijn de Nederlandse staat aan te spreken op diens bijdrage aan die opwarming van de aarde.
Under the legal principle of duty of care, no one can create dangers for others if those dangers can be reasonably prevented. Roger argued that in not meeting the agreed targets for reducing emissions in the face of dangerous climate change, the Dutch government was failing in its duty of care and acting unlawfully. 2 months later, the judges reached their decision.
En geen enkel land, klein of groot, kan zich verschuilen achter het argument dat het niet alleen van zijn inspanningen afhangt of een gevaarlijke klimaatverandering wordt voorkomen. Berusten in een geringere reductie is onrechtmatig tegenover Urgenda.
And then you could hear in the other hall yelling and screaming, and we still had to stay composed until the judges left the room, and then people were crying, yelling, everything.
The court ordered that by the end of 2020, the Dutch state would have to reduce emissions by at least 25% compared to 1990 levels.
You feel the weight of winning, that this is really something that can make a turning point, maybe in history. So it's very big, and I could feel that.
Dit is ongelooflijk. We hebben zo hard gewerkt voor deze zaak, en het is uiteindelijk zo'n groot maatschappelijk belang waar het hier over gaat.
I remember every moment of that day.
Dennis van Berkel is Agenda's legal counsel. He was in court during the proceedings.
I remember the moment when I realized they're actually going to give it to us. They're actually going to rule in our favor. And my hands started to shake. And I remember thinking, all right, now you need to focus because we need to get this message out.
Shortly after the victory, Agenda learned the Dutch government would appeal. The hearing took place nearly 3 years later. This time, the focus was on a line of argument dismissed by the district court, the need to protect human rights.
In our case, it was the right to life and the right to private life. So that's Articles 2 and 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights. We said these violations of these human rights are so severe that this triggers a duty of care on the side of the government in order to prevent this potential catastrophic harm.
The court ruled in favor of Agenda for the second time.
De staat onrechtmatig handelt, want in strijd met de zorgplicht van de artikelen 2 en 8 EVRM door verdere reductie bij eind 2020 na te laten en dat de staat tenminste 25% moet reduceren per eind 2020.
The celebration was short-lived as once again the Dutch government appealed. This time, Agenda's case would be judged by the highest court in the Netherlands. The Supreme Court hearing began in May 2019. In December, the state's appeal was rejected for the last and final time. Agenda had won. Amaria now has the government's ear.
It was a crucial verdict for the Netherlands.
Rob Yetten has been Minister for Climate and Energy Policy since January 2022.
We've always been very good in pointing the finger to other countries. And ever since the verdict, the debate is much more about our own responsibility. Politics in the Netherlands was probably also trying to protect Dutch companies that play a huge role in the fossil fuels economy. But it's very useful to use the verdict in my debates with other ministers and parliament and tell them there is no choice, we got to do this.
The Netherlands' emissions are now down by around 25% compared to 1990, while the government has allocated some 45 billion euros for tackling climate change. And the wider impact of this case is being felt around the world.
How does a verdict like this in one country then have an effect globally?
You now have judgments by other courts in completely other countries that quote what the Urgenda court has done that can then also be applied in their respective jurisdiction. Every state has said, it doesn't matter what we do because this is a global problem. And here the court said, no. The part that you cause is your responsibility. We can hold our governments to account, and if they can't explain themselves, then they have to go back to the drawing board and do it again.
Urgenda's historic victory has inspired cases across the world. From Germany to Colombia to Pakistan, citizens are holding their governments to account. And the stakes have never been higher. Meeting the targets ratified by the Paris Agreement in 2015, a 45% reduction in emissions by 2030 and net zero by 2050, seem ever further away.
The consequences of dangerous climate change will be such that nobody can escape it, and that it will be the largest human rights violation that we've ever witnessed in the world for eternity, because there's no way back once we reach certain tipping points. So then the question arises, what does this mean for private entities like oil, gas and coal companies?
Activists say just 100 companies are responsible for 71% of global emissions. The life-threatening impacts of ever higher greenhouse gas levels are now being felt on every continent. And yet, emissions continue to rise, as does public frustration and anger at corporate inaction around the world. Could the law enable citizens to force companies to change?
Power in the vote! Power in the vote! Power in the vote!
On the 5th of April 2019 in The Hague, the headquarters of the energy major Shell were unusually lively. Representatives of seven organisations, including Milieu Defensie, the Dutch arm of Friends of the Earth, and some of their 17,000 co-plaintiffs, had come to deliver a court summons.
We had been campaigning for years, tried to engage with Shell, tried to talk to Shell.
Nina De Pater leads Milieu Defensie's campaign against Shell.
We realised if campaigning is not working, then we have to force Shell to stop polluting.
The plaintiffs accused Shell of violating both its duty of care, claiming it was knowingly undermining the world's chances of avoiding catastrophic climate change, and also Articles 2 and 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights.
Vandaag zeggen wij tegen Shell, nee. Nee, nee, nee.
We feel... Wake up.
Shell is even bigger CO2 emissions than the Dutch government. So we realized if the Dutch government has to take responsibility, then Shell should also be held responsible. And through the same mechanisms, it was the first time that this was ever tried. So we didn't know if it would work.
The hearing started in December 2020.
The main argument of Shell is that everybody is responsible. The consumer, the state, the international community. Everybody is responsible. Except Shell, and we're going to change that.
Milieu Defensie was represented by Roger Cox.
Het bedrijf behoort tot de selecte groep van 25 multinationale bedrijven die de afgelopen 30 jaar meer dan de helft van de wereldwijde industriële broeikasgasemissies hebben veroorzaakt. En draagt daarmee bij aan de verwezenlijking van een groot gevaar voor de mensheid, de mensenrechten, de toekomstige generaties, het milieu en de natuur.
Shell robustly defended its position.
Er is geen rechtsregel die CO2-emissies van Shell naar de stand van nu onrechtmatig maakt. En er is geen rechtsregel die een private partij verplicht tot een specifieke emissiereductie per 2030 die Milieudefensie beoogt.
On the final day of the hearing, co-plaintiffs gathered outside.
De rechtbank beveelt RDS om via het concernbeleid van de Shell Groep de CO2-uitstoot van de Shell Groep en van de toeleveranciers en de afnemers van die groep eind 2030 terug te brengen met netto 45% ten opzichte van het niveau van 2019.
It was a landmark win. The first time a company had been held legally responsible for its own emissions and those across its supply chain.
It's enormous. It's phenomenal. It's historical.
So this is the first time that a large multinational company is ordered to reduce its emissions. So this really counts.
It took a while to really realize that we had won. And then after that, of course, the whole media storm started. Even more special, I think, was all the reactions that we got from activists from all over the world that said, this finally gave me hope and something positive happened. That's even more important than all of the media attention that we got.
In July 2021, Shell appealed. The hearing is yet to take place. I asked Shell for an in-person interview about the case and received a written statement attributed to a Shell spokesperson.
Shell's goal is to become a net zero emissions energy company by 2050. Appealing the Dutch court's ruling does not change this. We are taking active steps to comply. However, there are aspects of it that are just not feasible or even reasonable to expect Shell or any single company to achieve. It effectively holds Shell accountable for a wider global issue, reducing consumer demand for fossil fuels, that requires action from business, governments and society.
Despite their confidence that Shell's appeal will fail, Roger and the Milieudefensie team are keeping the pressure on the company, hoping it will send a clear message to the wider business community.
What the Shell case signals to other large CO2-emitting companies is that there is a human rights obligation for these companies to do their fair share in emission reductions, but it's also a signal to their investors, their financiers, their banks, because they facilitate the CO2 emissions of the future. And hopefully that ripple effect will continue and become larger and larger. You don't need to sue thousands of companies. You need to sue a few of them and make clear that this obligation exists. And that will give this broader signal to society that something has to change.
And society is picking up on that broader signal. The calls for systems change are becoming louder.
After the court ruling against it, Shell moved its headquarters from the Netherlands to the UK. And today is its annual general meeting here in London. Despite the court ruling and climate scientists' clear warnings against any new oil and gas fields, Shell is ploughing millions into new developments. So it's no surprise, really, that today's meeting is attracting quite a bit of attention.
Justice! Justice!
Nina has travelled to London for the AGM.
1 year ago, we defeated Shell in court.
About a month ago, we sent a letter to the board of directors from Shell to warn them that they are the ones that can be held legally liable for taking this risk, for not complying to the verdict, and for endangering people's lives. So for the shareholders who are there, they have to know that the board of directors is taking the risk of not following the verdict.
We are unstoppable! Another world is possible!
Dozens of activists from campaign groups attended the meeting and disrupted it until they were ejected by security.
For Shell, this was not an easy day. We heard a lot of shareholders asking critical questions, and it really shows that people inside and also all of the protesters outside are fed up with all of the greenwashing from Shell.
But systems change is not going to happen if only one corporation is held to account. Back in Amsterdam, Milieudefensie is wasting no time in forcing other major players to act. In January 2022, it sent a letter to 29 Netherlands-based businesses, banks and other financial institutions, asking them to share their decarbonisation plans and pointing out that the Shell judgment could also apply to them. All responded, and this morning, Milieudefensie has published its report on these plans.
Ja, volgens mij is het vanuit communicatie gewoon best wel een soepele lancering.
Hier zie je Gusto. Hier zijn de echte reacties op Facebook en Twitter.
Een soort gewoon praktisch.
The companies themselves have been quick to comment.
They're being careful in their responses. But they're not attacking the research in itself, so that's good.
I think they're on high alert because they know that they are obliged to deliver and they're not.
This is all part of a well-planned strategy to expose corporate inaction. And if dialogue fails, to use the law to enforce change. Overseeing it is Milieudefensie's director, Donald Poles.
None of these companies take climate change seriously enough to ensure that they have policies that are aligned with the international climate agreements.
And none of them have got sufficient action plans?
None of them. So we informed them that the verdict in the court case against Shell is also applicable to them. And we designed a model in which we can apply the outcome of the court verdict to the biggest multinationals in the Netherlands. Multinationals have been hiding very well, and we've now forced them into the light of day.
My time in the Netherlands has left me feeling optimistic that the systems change, which is so urgently needed, is beginning to happen.
So the citizens take on their government, and then a major multinational corporation, and then other companies too. So it's like a domino effect. The dominoes tumble slowly. That's just the pace of the law. But once they start to tumble, they tumble. I love it. It's so strong and it's so clear, and it's just what's needed now.
But how do these Dutch cases fit the bigger legal picture? Back in the UK, I've come to the London School of Economics to talk to policy analyst Catherine Higham, co-author of an annual report on global trends in climate litigation.
What trends are you seeing in litigation?
We've seen kind of exponential growth over time, and we see two new trends that are really important. One is cases that follow in the footsteps of Milieudefensie and Shell and look at what a company has to do now in the face of the current scientific evidence. And the other is about greenwashing. So companies setting net zero emissions targets but having no credible plans to meet them.
So here's the Netherlands, so where the Agenda case was won. Have you seen any impact of that case?
Absolutely. The Agenda case is one that has sparked more than 70 cases filed in countries around the world that are challenging governments on a similar basis.
70? Gosh, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah, it's a huge proportion of the overall number.
It's one thing talking to people on the ground about the Agenda and Milieudefensie cases and then seeing them in the context of this report. I find it absolutely fascinating because it shows that cases like this have global impact and are really putting pressure on the system.
I started my journey as the UK government was being taken to court over what three NGOs claimed was its breach of the Climate Change Act. The judge has now published his decision. And I'm catching up with Friends of the Earth lawyer, Katie Dekauer.
So, Katie, I'm longing to know what the judgment says.
Well, the judgment is a win.
Wow, that's amazing.
We're absolutely delighted, yes. We've been successful in proving that they have indeed breached the Climate Change Act, so we're very, very happy.
And it's easy to throw around words like historic, landmark, but how would you describe this judgment?
I think those words are fully deserved in this case because this is the first time that the government has been found in breach of the Climate Change Act, and the Climate Change Act is of fundamental significance to our ability to counter the climate crisis that we're finding ourselves in. This is a real wake-up call for the government.
In the next episode, I'll explore how the law is being used to hold those responsible for climate change to account wherever they are, and how nature's rights are becoming as important as human rights in the drive for systems change.